Fighters, it's time for the Thursday Q&A episode here on the Contractor Fight Podcast. We take your questions and we answer them here on the show. Send your questions to help@thecontractorfight.com with the subject line podcast to get your questions in front of us. Tom and I will pick the questions that are the most relevant to the people here in the fight. You guys rock. Let's do this.
Fighters, before we dig into the Q&A episode, we see here on our end so many questions that come in about making more money. And I just want to give you guys a resource if you don't already have it. And it's our 50% gross profit sheet. All right, listen, the fastest way to put more money in your pocket right now in your business is to raise your gross profit. And we show you how to do that. So if you head to thecontractorfight.com/50, fill out your name and your email, you'll have instant access to this and you'll be on your way to making more money. So go grab that right now. Let's get on with the Q&A episode here today. Welcome to the Contractor Fight Q&A. If you're listening to the podcast, we appreciate you being part of the fight and all that stuff. Every now and then we jump on here and we do our thing. I think I just put that there. Okay, so I just put a little banner on the bottom of the screen if you're watching this for our Mile High Profit Summit. We've got about 100 tickets left or so. There's going to be about 450-ish home improvement contractors from all over the country that are going to be in the room in Denver. And I'm telling you, if you ain't there, you're going to wish you was there. I promise you that. So guys, we're going to jump right in because we're going to approach things a little differently today. And because we were racking our brains how we can answer this question. And so I got a DM from somebody named David. And instead of me replying just to the DM, I'm like, well, let's make this part of the show. So, I won't tell you who he is or other than David or where he is or anything, because it's, you know, I'll keep it somewhat confidential here. But anyway, David asked a question, some advice. I'm 24 years old. I think this conversation I need to have is a little bit above me and I don't want to blow it. I've landed a call with one of the higher ups at Burger King that deals with maintenance, pressure washing, painting, etc. for this region's Burger Kings. Problem is that the person they have doing it now charges $800 a store, but he does a terrible job. He misses spots and is not high quality work. I really don't know how he's able to operate and make money. I was wondering if you had any pointers on selling, on the selling aspect for this call. The number I came up with using the 50% rule, gross profit rule, with the worksheet that we provide, is $2,491. That's three times more than he currently is paying per store. Been there, Dan? We've all been there, right?
All been there.
I'm trying to think about what this prospect will think that is important for his company. For example, if I bring up the tax write-off, see, I didn't understand this. This is all jumbled. The grammar was shitty here. I'm not even going to go into the tax stuff. I would be bidding for 59 stores annually and then potentially 500 plus stores later on if I get the contract for the 59. So David is asking, how in the world do I handle this situation? Dan, there's so much here that we can pick apart.
Yeah, there's lack of some context in there, but there's a lot in here.
Bottom line is we've all been there. It's like somebody's like they're in, you're having a planned sales call. You find out they're paying, in this case, $800 a store. Yep. And your price is like $2,400, $2,500 a store. And you're like, shit, I have to have this conversation. And is this guy going to go for it? And all the head trash that we have around this situation. The one thing, before we jump into how we're going to approach this today, because he's asked for some advice on the sales aspect of this, how we would handle it, is at the very end, he says, I'll be bidding 59 stores and then potentially 500. I want you to get rid of potentially, my friends. Okay. We are not living on Hope Island. We're not in unicorn land. Okay. This is a thing. I remember when I used to, when I got into painting for GCs and stuff, they would do the old, hey, if you price it good on this one, I got 10 more houses for you and shit like that. Right. Yeah. 20 more.
Future work promise.
And my old business partner was funny. He goes, he was really wise with this. He says, one builder goes, yeah, you know, you give us a good price on this, we got a lot more. He says, so if I don't make money on this job that I need to make, you're going to give me more just like it. Thanks. Right. Like,
and yeah, my response.
Yeah. Go ahead.
My response always when people offer that, I got five or six houses ahead of you. And I say, that's great. I was like, the sixth house is free. You know, because they always want to front load the discount on the front end. Yeah. It's like, just that carrot.
So, guys, we thought we would do a little role play here of how you might have this conversation. Okay. We can give a bunch of advice, but I just think, you know, there's a couple assumptions here. And I appreciate David. And actually, let me do this. Let me tell him in the DM real quick. Hey man, Dan and I are live in the Facebook group right now, the Contractor Fight Facebook group, and on YouTube answering your question. So look for the replay if you don't catch it live. See, there you go. Just hooked him up. All right, David's 24, man. He's 24. He's a young dude. He's trying to do things right. I totally get that. He's hungry. Somehow he created an opportunity, you know, in his niche to, you know, have shit tons of locations. And so I don't blame him for wanting to prepare for this and all that other stuff. So my second piece of advice, other than the potentially thing that we talked about, my second piece of advice before we get into this role play, Dan, is you do not want to be locked into a deal that you're losing. Okay. So that's huge for anybody to understand. Say he gets the 59 stores at a number that's not his number. You're just going to be really busy and you're going to be able to go, hey, we do Burger King's work. Okay. Who gives a shit? If you ain't making your life better and your business better and your bank account better and all those other things as the result of it, it's no good to you. All right. So I just, and then your time is booked up where now you can't sell and produce profitable jobs. Okay.
Yeah. So production capacity whatsoever. The only thing I would add on that too is just, you hear this a lot, you know, I'm young, whatever age that seems to be, or I'm new in business. And it just seems like Dave is already kind of backing himself into it. A losing situation here. It's just like, just go in the call and own it regardless of your age. And it's not above you. You're on the phone, you're making the call. It's you. So apparently you're big enough to make it happen.
100%, man. Listen, we got, you know, 20-year-olds driving submarines, nuclear submarines under the oceans, man. So yeah. It doesn't matter if you're 24 and you're young in business. So here's the thing, my friends, I'm going to be the Burger King guy. Dan's going to call me up because in this case, David has, it sounds like he's got the opportunity to actually have a conversation with somebody. It's not just throwing a bid. So guys, anytime you can have a true conversation with somebody, I think that's a win right there. So, hey, would you work with somebody you've never heard of? Hell no. And other people won't do that either. That's why you need Nice Job. With their help, you can get a whole lot more reviews so potential clients can see how awesome your business is. Let your current clients do your marketing for you with Nice Job. Start your free trial today at thecontractorfight.com/nicejob. Ring, ring. Hello, this is Burger King Tom.
Hello, Burger King Tom. This is Dan from Power Washing Pros. How are you doing today?
Dan, I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
I am doing awesome. Thanks.
Cool. You got those numbers for me, man? You got those numbers for me on these stores?
Yeah, I'll have those numbers for you, Tom, but we have to talk a little bit, ask a few questions first.
Yeah, I got a couple minutes.
Cool. So I appreciate you taking the time. You know, we're eager to look at the opportunity doing the power washing for Burger King's for you. Would you mind telling me how your current vendor is going? This is how it's all started. I saw one of your stores getting power washed when I was picking up lunch one day, and I'm just curious what you think of the current service provider you got.
Well, this guy came, you know, we have him doing some maintenance work, some painting touch-ups and washing and things like that. And he, I guess he's been with us for a while. He was hired by the guy that was before me running this in this role. Okay. And I don't know, it just seems to be pretty inconsistent with his work. You know, like we had one property where he missed the whole side of a building on touch-ups. So, I mean, and we had to call him back and wait, and it just adds to my to-do list. So I thought we would, when you reached out, I thought, hey, let's see if we get some other bids.
Cool. I appreciate that. You know, I understand how frustrating and inconsistent work can be. I mean, what, if you had a magic wand, what would this process look like for you if you hired us to do the work?
A magic wand. Wow. Nobody's ever asked me that.
I think they come in some of your Happy Meals or your kids' meals. That's why I brought that.
I like that. You know, I guess a magic wand would be that we just have a relationship with somebody where it's just on autopilot. Things need to be done and they know it before I know it, you know, then, and we're just kind of, whenever I go up to a store and I'm not seeing issues and stuff, it's just magic wand. I mean, that's, you know, things are done before I even notice them needing to be done. It would be great for me because I have so many, obviously I have so many locations that I'm juggling and,
right,
and this and that. So I just don't want to have to chase somebody, you know, and, you know, whether it's getting them out on site on time or having to call them back if something's missed, you know, those things just eat up a lot of my time.
Yeah, I imagine you're probably dealing with dozens and dozens of vendors, I imagine. What would you mind explaining me what your process with the individual stores is for lining up the power washing?
Yeah, well, for the washing, we have a quarterly rotation. You know, so they need to be washed at least once a quarter and occasionally more than once if it's in a really high, you know, traffic polluted area and things like that with, you know, exhaust and, you know, yep, gunk. And then, you know, everything from the balusters in the parking lot that need touched up to some of the door frames and service doors. And, you know, we just want it to look clean and neat and tidy. And, okay, you know, I think on a good routine, it would never be a problem, right? Because you would catch things before it ever became like a ugly mess. So I guess process is we're kind of leaning on the service provider to just make sure that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm confident that we can do all the aspects of the washing to your standard because we do it all the time. I was kind of more interested in how I can take some of that pressure you have off of dealing with the store owners and the scheduling, mm-hmm, and that type of thing. We've got a pretty dialed system ourselves, and the other facilities managers we work with, a lot of the value they find in us is that we take things off of their to-do list so that their life is easier.
I would just like to introduce you to the store managers, you know, via a text or an email to everybody and say, hey, this is our guy. And if there's something you need, just reach out to him. You work directly with them. Anything that's not under contract, you know, would have to be approved by me, but that's super rare. We hardly ever have anything that's not under the normal maintenance contract.
Cool. I mean, what kind of problem? So that kind of explains you downstream to the manager. Like, what from the store manager back to you? How do you know the job's getting done correctly? Is it something where, like, if we sent you a video after every job, mm-hmm, that you knew it was done, or what can we do to make? Because I'm sure those guys have tons of shit on their plate too, and they probably aren't getting back to you timely either.
Yeah, each location has a checklist that they go through every week, and they grade their own location, and they submit those reports to us. And so, you know, it's really a self-assessment out there.
Okay.
Is how it works. But, you know, you would do video or pictures or something like that. That'd be kind of cool.
My creators will shoot you a video at the end of every project and text it to you with the address so you know it's done and off your to-do list.
Can you put it like in a Google Drive and not text me those things or something by location? Or could we do something like that to where they're, my whatever phone's not, well, I mean, we have 59 locations. I don't want my phone blowing up every day.
Whatever you prefer is possible. That works for us. Dropbox,
well, Google Drive, cool,
whatever you want.
Yeah, I didn't know that. All right. Yeah, we're not getting that now. That's kind of cool. All right. Well, what's something like this, you know, what's your estimate look like on this?
I mean, so you mentioned that the current guy's got some mistakes and things he's missing on a regular basis. What's your priority? Getting the places cleaned up perfectly or is price your main focus?
Well, we all have maintenance budgets for every location and stuff like that. But honestly, you know, when, you know, I'm a stickler for cleanliness, and, you know, the fast food industry to begin with is already struggling with that, you know, has a bad rap. And so I'm really committed in my region that I'm responsible for that we're kind of that example of what the brand should look like, you know? And, you know, so that I would say, like I said earlier, I just want to, if I drive randomly by one of the locations, I just want it to look locked in, man. I want it to be dialed in and squared away and not something that I have to go, man, those guys were, I mean, like just last week, I had to call the guy back out. I drove by and like, they were just there and they missed something, you know? And it's just, I don't know. We all, as human beings, man, we only have so much bandwidth in our brains every day, you know? And, mm-hmm, I'm just tired of having to think about all these little things you know, my store managers don't need it. They're trying to hire people, man. And there's a labor shortage and it's hard to find people. That's their number one priority right now is hiring. So they don't need to be babysitting this stuff. And I just don't ever want to really think about it. You know, I mean, I can't break the bank on it, but, and I think he's a little cheaper than most are, you know, like I said, he was hired by, I didn't get all the bids the last time or anything. So I don't know what something like this is supposed to cost, but you know, he's 800 to 1,000 bucks or something in there per location on a monthly basis. And it just doesn't seem like it's done right.
What would happen, Tom, if I told you that I couldn't even get close to $800 to properly power wash your facilities?
What would happen is I would ask you, well, how close, I mean, where would we be?
We're looking to do it to our standard. We're probably between 2,500 and 2,000 bucks. And that's going to be, go ahead.
No, you were saying that's going to be for what?
That's going to be to clean the facilities to the standard we do. But in addition, doing all of the back end logistics side of it and taking that off of your plate and the store manager's plate. So it pretty much be turnkey. We come to agreement. You give us the addresses and the schedule. You don't have to think about anything other than sending me a check when the invoice comes across.
And does that include like touch-ups that are needed and stuff or whatever while you're out there?
Yeah, whatever. We can define that into the scope of work that we're talking about. And if something comes up, the store manager walks out and has something that isn't at our running agreement, then I can just quickly send a change order over to you. We can get that sorted and taken care of the same day.
What about, I mean, we do have 59 locations and this is almost three times more than what we're getting. And I really haven't gotten any other prices. I mean, you reached out to us and, you know, I'm happy to talk to you. Is there some sort of volume break that we can get if this runs up against my budget? I'll have to run some numbers here, but
I mean, the prices we're talking about today are based on the 59 stores that they're currently on the table. I know that there's a bunch of other stores in the future, and if we start bumping the volume up, then we can start talking.
Are you able to do maybe a trial run on a couple locations before we sign a contract on all the locations, just to see where things are at and how the process works, and maybe that'll help you figure some efficiencies out too?
Sure. What would that look like for you? How do you want to do that?
You know, I'm thinking we lock into maybe five locations for the next 90 days and just kind of play that out and see what the routine looks like and this and that. And that way we get to see, you know, I mean, we spent a lot of admin time on our end babysitting things and chasing things. So I'm willing to pay some more money. I really want to make sure before I commit to something that's almost three times more.
Sure.
It's going to have the effect that I want it to have.
Let me ask you this. If, as far as the location of the stores, how much sway do you have coordinating nearby locations to get washed on the same day? On some of the past accounts, we've had some problems. Is that we can't do a couple in a day. And so we're getting stuck into doing the day rate for a crew because of drive time and that type of thing. Mm. Is that something you could help us out? I know they're all independently owned stores. And so it's like herding cats from my perspective.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to handle that communication with the managers and the coordination and stuff, I have no problem, whatever route you work out, as long as consistent, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can do that.
Yeah. And that's something I think if we set up the standard for the trial run, and you're happy with both the actual work and then all the back-end admin handholding that we discussed, and we can then figure out the scheduling to be most efficient for us, there probably is some price efficiency that we can figure out at that point.
Sounds good. I'll let me look at a couple things, figure out the stores that we could probably do that with right now, and I'll communicate that to the other vendor that we're going to try somebody else out for a while on those stores for 90 days, and then we'll go from there.
Perfect. Sounds good.
All right. So let's tap out. I'm going to tap out a little quicker here because we're coming up against our time and I want to kind of debrief this. So I know we got 60 something people here live on Facebook watching this now or whatever. And a bunch will hit the replay. Now this came as a question that somebody named David had sent us. And I just thought, you know, this was a good opportunity to just play out how we would have this sales conversation, you guys. And if you know, you're catching this late, go back to the beginning. We give more of the context. But let me give a couple thoughts on Dan, and then Dan, you could give a couple thoughts on how you did. Guys, Dan was not desperate for this. He wasn't swayed or lured in by, 59 stores, right? And the potential of 500 stores. Dan was remaining in control of this. And if you guys notice, I did most of the talking. Dan asked questions to get me really thinking and talking. And it's amazing. Guys, this is a role play. And it's so funny that whenever I'm the customer and somebody like you, Dan, who's super good at our pre-qual process, when you ask me questions, it literally takes me and puts me into that person's situation. So I was, on my end, I was truly putting my facility manager hat on, this guy that had all these stores. And I've never been one of those guys, so I don't know, but I'm like imagining what it's like trying to herd all these cats. And so I appreciated just how you didn't take the bait on a couple things, especially when I said, is there a bulk discount and stuff? You're like, well, the price I gave you is based on the 59 stores, right? But you did leave the door open that, hey, after we get some little history under our belt, maybe there's some room for some efficiencies based on route selection and all, and you know, all that other stuff. So, but you just remained in control, dude. You weren't like, oh boy, I'm going to get 59 stores. I've seen so many people go out of business because they get these big contracts they're locked into, and they end up running themselves ragged. And so that was my big take, but there's other things I could pick apart, but I know we only have about 7 minutes left here. So how about you? What was your...
Well, I've always... I mean, my paint business is mostly residential, as you know, but we did have some commercial stuff. And one of the biggest was a hospital group. And we did several of their hospitals. And it was like painting a battleship from one end to the other. And we're in the situation. We're quite a bit more expensive than the people they had. And I had no chance on just financial basis. So I just poured myself into, how do I make this guy look like a hero? I went to visit him. His phone was blowing up from all these departments and all these different trade guys walking around the hospital. So I just keyed in on him and his headaches, and just like you, just kind of drag him through all the shit so he could actually think about it. And then mentally he's got this list of crap. And then I just solved those problems. Asked him what the other vendor was, you know, not working, and just provide solutions to things that weren't working, and made price not the issue, and made him look like a hero to his administrators and everybody else. So that's always, you know, it works on the commercial side. It works with homeowners as well. It's just like, what are their bigger pain points? Money is usually not it. And you pull those out of them, let them marinate it, and usually you can convert them.
Yeah. So question for those that are on here right now. Does anyone know what my pain was? What was my motive? Pain or pleasure is why people buy. And we call it the motive, step one in our prequel. And somebody here says, came in a little late. I'll be replaying this later on. I think what I have always done doing bids is not being able to shut my mouth and talking to them like a friend. That's really easy to do. So Craig says, my motive was time. You need it to be on autopilot. I think that's Garrett. Yeah. Dan, what was my pain? What do you think it was?
It's chaos.
Yeah, I would agree with the with both the things those guys. It was time. I wanted on auto. I basically didn't want the hassle of dealing with it. Right. I really wanted it. The magic wand question was great because you were like, hey, you wave a magic wand. What is this? This shit gets done. I look like a hero. I don't have to think about it.
Yeah, I saw the 59 stores and I saw whatever the number of additional possible stores with. This guy's got lots of balls in the air, and chasing power washers is probably not high on his list.
Yeah. And so guys, one of the other big things here is when you're dealing with a commercial client, you got to remember that it's not their money.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, they have a budget. Okay. They always, and I get that, but I will tell you from experience, I, and so is Dan, we have sold way over the budget many times because we understand that, especially like a facility manager, they just want to look like, they want to look good to their employer or their client if they're managing somebody's buildings or whatever. They want to look like a hero. Okay. And when their phone's not blowing up with a bunch of stupid shit and complaints and all this other stuff, that makes them look better. So often the motive in commercial is the person who, because a lot of times, I mean, I've painted many offices and you've done hospitals, Dan. The person who's in charge of this, oftentimes they just got roped into it. They're like, hey, we need to paint the thing. You know, go find some painters. And they're like, I don't know what the fuck to do here. Like, yeah. They don't know how this is supposed to work. They just know they've been trained, you know, that you get three bids and you do that whole thing and you pick the one in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. But when you, and now this easily could go the other way where it's not a sale. I could have said, there's no way on God's green earth that I'm going to pay three times as much for this work, Dan. It just ain't going to happen. I can't do it. No matter how much I would want to, yeah. I can't. That's still a win, you guys, because you're not locking yourself into a bunch of shitty price jobs for the next year or two, however long the contract is, you know, and running your life on a merry-go-round or a hamster wheel again.
Yeah, and that's also why I asked you what would happen if I came at close to your current price to where midway through the conversation. One, to protect my time and not waste, you know, either of our time keeping on talking about it. So,
yep. So one other Facebook user said he didn't talk about all the stuff he was going to do for the price. He focused on what was important to help everyone. Exactly. And guys, that's a big thing. You notice that now I was pretty easy because I wanted you guys to hear how Dan communicated, right? But I was willing to have a conversation. A lot of people are, if you have the right tonality and the spirit of conversation, like Dan did, like their guard comes down. They're like, wow, this person's actually, you know, not just sitting here telling me how great they are. And Dan always brought it back to the motive. He always brought it back to how it would affect me and all those other things in this role play. Instead of like whoever said this here wasn't like, you know, we're going to do this and it's going to include this many hours of blah, blah, blah service and this and that. It had nothing to do with all the technical aspects of the job, you guys. Okay. So that's everything. Key. What's that?
Which is how I sell everything.
That's how you sell everything. Yeah. What would that conversation look like if he couldn't do your price mid conversation? All right. We got 2 minutes here, Dan. Let's pick it up. Dan, there's no way. I mean, I'm at 800 to 1,000 a story. You're telling me it's $2,500. There's zero chance on God's green earth that corporate's going to approve this. I just can't do that.
Yeah, I get that, Tom. I hear that. I know we're at the top of the price point here. Sounds like we're done. Is there anything else I can help you with? You know, you're sure to get a couple of references or anything else before we end the call?
No, man. I mean, I'm sorry we can't work something out. I appreciate you taking the time and stuff. I get it. You know, things cost what they cost. And it sounds like we've hired somebody who's, you know, we're kind of getting what we pay for. It just, it is what it is, but I just know they're not going to approve that. You know, the most I'm probably going to get is $1,500 a store. And yeah. I just, you know, we're still not even in the ballpark for you. So I appreciate your time, man.
That's cool, man. Hey, the only thing I like to grab lunch with you sometime in the next couple of weeks, if our schedules cross, just to discuss other painting options and things at your facilities. I know our power washing is expensive, but maybe we can suit some needs in some other areas for you.
Yeah, hit me up, shoot me an email or whatever, and you know, happy to grab 30 minutes or something and grab a bite down the street from the office here.
Cool, thanks, Tom.
Yeah, guys, and again, it's yeah. And Brian was like, you can reduce the scope or whatever. There's all these things that you can have, but guys, so many times we try to talk ourselves into something. Remember, if this person doesn't have control of the money, if I come right out and I just go, there's zero chance in the world this is going to happen. Okay. But what Dan did is he kept it alive. He kept the relationship alive. Okay. You know, there's, you know, based on the conversation we have, there wasn't much scope to reduce, you guys, because what I wanted was I wanted the magic wand.
Right.
You know, I wanted the touch-ups done. I wanted to not think about it. And I wanted the back-end stuff taken care of. I wanted the pictures and the videos and the washing and the maintenance and all these other things. Yes, I would agree, Brian, there are times that you can reduce the scope. But in the motive that Dan gave me, or I gave Dan, I wanted everything. Now, what Dan did is he kept the relationship alive. And now we're going to connect down the road. You know, and I'm with, instead of Dan pushing and pushing and pushing and being the typical salesperson, Dan just let it go. And he's like, that's cool, man. We're not a good fit. And maybe you'll have a bigger project down the road that will be a good fit for that your guy can't get to, or I could be a good B team option for you if your guy's running behind and you need me to bail you out. So Dan protected the relationship long term, was my take. So
the hospital thing turned out for me. I got rejected on an exterior historic restoration part of the hospital. And kept meeting with the facilities guy and wound up with $750,000 paying contract.
All right. So Dan's got a call now. I have another podcast that I'm on now. I got to get rolling. Appreciate all you guys hanging out here. And David, I hope this helps you a little bit with your situation that you have to deal with this person. with all these locations. Just remember, stay in control. They, you know, they're talking to you because they're not happy. So find out what they're not happy with. And remember, it is not your job to find the money.
Just a conversation.
It's not your job to find their money. It costs what it costs. You determine what you want that to be for you and your business. And it is what it is. And they either find the money or they don't. So anyway, appreciate you guys. If you're listening to the podcast, give us a rating, give us a review, share this with another contractor. Super appreciate y'all. Don't forget to join us at Mile High Profit Summit in September. Head to thecontractorfight.com and check out the links we have there for Mile High. And with that, you guys rock. We got to roll. Dan, appreciate you, buddy. Talk to you soon.
There I am, Tom. Talk to you soon. See you guys.
Bye. Hey, fighters, hopefully you got some value today from the Q&A episode and that you learned something that you can apply in your business. If you have a question, send an email to help@thecontractorfight.com and in the subject line, put the word podcast and we will get that question. We'll answer it on air for you. And also, don't forget to share this with another contractor. Give us a review on iTunes, wherever you listen to this. Super appreciate you hanging out with us here today. You guys rock. We got to roll. We're out.